It's 9:01 on the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to a June 18th broadcast of the show. We are now going to go to a personal stash escape. And I say June 18th because it's a special day. June 18th is my brother Sergio's birthday. Sergio celebrates, well, he's got to be like 200 now. He's celebrating his birth. A brother's a lot of things. We grew up exceptionally close. He's 7 years older than me. Was always kind of my bodyguard. I had a smart mouth. You may not believe this, but as a kid, I had a super smart mouth, man. I would talk smack like nobody's business and was never afraid to do so because I had Luca Brasi as my brother to back me up. So, Sergio, my protector through life, also my rock and roll outlet. I get my rock genes from my brother. And one of the very first albums that I got was a hand-me-down album that he had had for several years. He had the original version of the album. I got it as a hand-me-down. It quickly became my favorite album, and it's in my top three still to this day. Sticky Fingers is what I'm talking about. The 11th American studio album by the band, of course, you know, the Rolling Stones, released in April of 71. It's their first album of the 70s decade and the first release on the band's new label, Rolling Stones Records. They'd been contracted since 1963 with Decca Records back in the United Kingdom and London Records out here. It's Mick Taylor's second full-length appearance on a Rolling Stones album and the second founder, Brian Jones, and the second Rolling Stones album not to feature any contributions from Brian Jones after the live album, Get Your Ya-Ya's Out. Sticky Fingers is considered one of the Rolling Stones' best albums. It's considered one of the greatest albums ever put out. So it is a fantastic piece of artwork. Speaking of which, the original cover artwork, which we'll get into after the album is played in its entirety, was conceived by Andy Warhol and photographed and designed by members of his art collective, The Factory. It was highly innovative, showing a sexually suggestive picture of a man in tight jeans, complete with a fully working zipper that opened to reveal a pair of underwear. Now, that zipper originally damaged a lot of the vinyl records within inside the album, so they later had to reissue featuring just the outer photograph of the jeans without an actual working zipper because it was damaging the album. Instrumentally, the album featured a return to the basics for the Stones. Absent were the unusual instrumentation, which had been introduced several albums prior. Most songs featuring drums, guitar, bass, and percussion as provided by the key members, which at the time, of course, Mick, Keith, Mick Taylor, Bill Wyman, and Charlie Watts. Additional contributions were made by longtime Stones collaborators, including one of the greatest saxophonists ever, who was Bobby Keys, also Billy Preston on keyboards, Jack Nitzsche, Ian Stewart, and Nicky Hopkins. As with other albums of the Stones, classics late 60s, early 70s periods, it was produced by Jimmy Miller. The album is in the Grammy Hall of Fame, and it is certainly included in Rolling Stone magazine's top 50 albums of all time. And again, with me, it's in the top three. With the end of their association with Decca and London at hand, the Rolling Stones were finally free to release their albums, cover art and all, as however they wanted. However, their departing manager, Alan Klein, dealt the group a major blow. He ripped them off. They discovered that they'd inadvertently signed over their entire 60s American copyrights to Klein and his company. Which is how all of their material from 1963's Come On to Get Your Ya-Ya's Out has since been released solely in America by Abco Records. The band, of course, remained angry with Klein for decades after that. Klein eventually died in 2009. The first song you're going to hear is Brown Sugar. And though credited, like most of their compositions, to Jagger and Richards, the song was primarily the work of Mick Jagger, who wrote it sometime during the filming of Ned Kelly. It was a movie he did in 1969. The song was written by Jagger with Marcia Hunt, his secret girlfriend and mother of his first child, Karis, in mind. It's also claimed it was written with Claudia Lanier in mind. Lanier claimed to be the song's subject on a BBC radio show back in 2014 because she kept Jagger's company at the time it was written. I got news for you, ladies. He was keeping a lot of company at that time. Brown Sugar was recorded over a three-day period at Muscle Shoals Sound Studio in Alabama from December 2nd through the 4th back in 1969. The lyric was all to do with the dual combination of drugs and girls, this song was a very instant thing, a definite high point in the Stones' career. And after noting that the lyrics could mean so many lewd subjects, Mick Jagger noted that the combination of those subjects and the lyrical ambiguity was partially why the song was considered so successful. Join us now, if you will, for Side One, Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers.
know I can't let you slide through my hands. Treat you unkind.
got to move, John. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord get ready, you got to move. You may be high, you may be low, you may be rich, John, you may be poor, but when the Lord
KXFM, truly human-crafted radio. It's the Mornings with Ed show. We are listening to the Sticky Fingers album in its entirety. That was side one. One of the greatest albums ever, certainly. And certainly one of the Rolling Stones' greatest albums. We heard Wild Horses in there. Now, in the liner notes, the Stones remember that they sat around originally doing this with Graham Parsons. This is according to Mick Jagger. I think his version came out slightly before ours. Everyone says this was written about Marianne Faithfull, but no, that's not true. That was all over by then. Now, according to Keith, I was definitely very inside this piece emotionally. If there is a classic way of Mick and me working together, this was it. I had the riff and chorus line. Mick got stuck into the verses, just like we did in Satisfaction. Wild Horses was about the usual thing of not wanting to be on the road, being a million miles from where you want to be. It features session player Jim Dickinson on piano, Keith on electric guitar and 12-string acoustic guitar, and Mick Taylor on acoustic guitar. Taylor uses Nashville tuning, in which the, now guitar nerds will get this, in which the E, A, D, and G strings of the acoustic guitar are strung one octave higher than in standard tuning. That went right over my head, by the way. Ian Stewart was present at the session, but refused to perform on the piano part in the track due to the prevalence of minor chords, which he disliked playing, which is why we heard Jim Dickinson in there. We also heard Can't You Hear Me Knocking? Can't You Hear Me Knocking? One of my absolute, if you had to pin me down to a favorite Rolling Stones song, that may very well be it. It's over 7 minutes long and begins with a Keith Richards open G-tuned guitar intro. At 2 minutes and 43 seconds, an instrumental break begins with Rocky Dijon on congas, tenor saxophonist, and one of the greatest rock saxophonists ever, Bobby Keys, performs an extended saxophone solo over the guitar work of Keith Richards and Mick Taylor, punctuated by the organ work of Billy Preston. It has everything. At the 440 mark, Taylor takes over from Keith and carries the song to its finish with a lengthy guitar solo. Keith Richards describes his guitar riff as coming out flying. I just found the tuning and the riff and started to swing it, and Charlie picked up on it. And just like that, we were saying, hey, this is some kind of groove. So it was smiles all around. For the guitar player, it's a big deal to feel a groove like that. It's about halfway through the 9 o'clock hour. Let's now take a listen to side two. This is the way you should listen to albums in their entirety. Side two, Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers.
Feel
that long. Oh, you see that I'm not that strong.
The Rolling Stones in its entirety, Sticky Fingers. That's the way that album should be heard. Dirty rock like that has yet to be bettered. There's still no rival for that in sight. That album, a magic formula of heavy soul, junky blues, and just pure, filthy rock. It captures that Stones bluesy swagger. I'm glad you had a chance to catch it with us. Let me tell you a little bit about it, though, before we head out. The last song you heard there, Moonlight Mile, done in one take. One take in the studio. We kicked off side two with the song Bitch. Bitch was recorded at 6 a.m., by the Stones, but Bobby Keys and Jim Price had to perform their saxophone and trumpet at midnight after a day full of partying. Those two, by the way, Bobby Keys partied harder than Keith Richards. That's what he was well known for. We also heard a song called I Got the Blues, recorded during the months of March through May. The song features Jagger on lead, Keith Richards in harmony vocals there, Mick Taylor and Keith Richards obviously on guitar, and Bill Wyman on bass. Aside from Charlie Watts on the drums, Billy Preston was on the Hammond organ. It's musically very much the school of the slow Stax ballads like Otis Redding or some others, with slow reverb guitars and the gospel feel, dignified brass, and a slow buildup of tension. Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger in particular, always big Otis Redding fans. You also heard Sister Morphine. The original Decca single credited Marianne Faithfull as a co-writer, but when London Records issued the single in the United States, her name was omitted, as it was from the credit of Sticky Fingers. After a legal battle, she retained her rights as a co-author. The band had always supported her right to be a co-author. Virgin Records' reissue of the Stones album catalog from the Sticky Fingers through Steel Wheels now signifies that. In the United Kingdom, her single was withdrawn by Decca due to the drug reference in the title. And this is an arts community, so I know everybody is interested in the artwork on the cover. Initially, I mentioned that the artwork was created by Andy Warhol. It emphasized the suggested innuendo of the Sticky Fingers title, showing a close-up of a jeans-clad male crotch with obviously the visible outline that you can see. The cover of the original vinyl LP released featured a working zipper and perforations around the belt buckle that opened to reveal a sub-cover image of cotton briefs. The vinyl release displayed the band's name and album title along with the image of the belt. Behind the zipper and the white briefs were seemingly rubber-stamped in gold with the stylized name of Andy Warhol. That, again, was the Rolling Stones' 1971 album, Sticky Fingers. Loved doing that. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.